This talk was recorded by True North Insight teacher Molly Swan at the Galilee Center on October the 13th, 2009.
When the Buddha first met with a group of people, he didn't begin teaching the way in the West we begin teaching. And this is true also in Asian Buddhist countries. The teaching does not begin with meditation. The teaching begins with two aspects of the teaching. So it does not teach with the fundamentals of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. It doesn't start with the Four Noble Truths. So it's not starting with impermanence. It's not starting with the truth of suffering. It's certainly not starting with anatta, emptiness. So he began with two teachings that would be familiar to anyone, be familiar to householders, people of any status in the community, of any occupation, even children. And these two aspects of the teaching, actually, it just to me blows my mind. It shows the wisdom, the far-reaching wisdom of the Buddha. These two subjects actually skillfully embody, bring to life, are expressions of the three characteristics. These two teachings really bring to life non-clinging. They bring to life impermanence, unreliability, and they really bring to life interconnectedness. And so I find that very reassuring, that for many of us who have trouble taking in the teachings in the oral form, as it's shared verbally, or in reading books, we are blessed to have a different way in. So the first teaching, the way that the Buddha introduced his teaching, was with the teaching of the cultivating of generosity. It's the teaching of dana. That's the Pali word, D-A-N-A. It means giving or generosity or generous action. And so maybe the experience or the concept of emptiness or not self or anatta eludes you. But how about the experience or the concept of not self-centeredness, of not selfishness? I find it just amazing that the whole culture of monasticism, the whole way that the monasteries work, it's formulated, its foundation is generosity. So that the teaching is inherent in the form. This was the form at the time of the Buddha. This is what the Buddha offered as a form, and it continues to this day. And the form itself, this monastic form, cultivates dana as a practice. So dana is freely given. Generosity, the generosity of the monks, is in offering a spiritual home for the community. And in Asia certainly, and it's starting to happen in the West too. The monasteries or the retreat centers become the hub of community. And so the monks offer the holding of religious observances, the giving of teachings, and the giving of blessings. It's a place, it's a real place of refuge for the community, just as a retreat center can be. And dana then is freely given by the community, by the townspeople. No matter how poor, it's considered a privilege. It's a real privilege to support the monks, to support the monastery, to support the teachings in being continued. And so they offer the monks. The monks go on alms rounds around the village, and the villagers put in food. And the villagers, there are several times a year when the villagers bring new robes to the monks and the nuns. And they supply medicine, and they build the monasteries. So there's a lovely reciprocity here. There's a lovely reciprocity. And each is dependent on the other. So this form exemplifies interdependence and interconnection with very obvious mutual benefit. It's a living example of anatta. And I think there's another aspect that just came to mind, how humbling it is. How humbling it is, how it keeps monks and nuns who are very much revered in Asian countries. And it keeps those of us in the teaching role who are dependent on the generosity of those who come on retreat. It's very humbling for us too. We are not above. We are dependent on you. And I think that's another very skillful aspect of this. In Asian Buddhist countries where everyone grows up with this model, generosity is just part of the cultural conditioning. And it's really interesting. In these countries, for example, in Thailand, the statistics are kind of overwhelming. What the per capita amount per year that is made in charitable donations vastly exceeds that which is given per capita in the U.S. on charitable donations. I think it was something like 20% of their income versus 2%. 23%. Thank you, Norman. 23%. And you know which country has a bit more. Well, I don't know right now, but I mean, the States is a half country. And I don't know what it's probably, it may be similar in Canada, it may be similar in Europe, but just in terms of Western countries. So this quality of generosity was so respected, so esteemed by the Buddha, that it is first on the wonderful list that is called the paramis. It's first on the Buddha's list of perfections or virtues. So generosity, and I think there are so many reasons for that. Generosity is a practice. It's a practice that cultivates and expresses many aspects of the teaching. So this is the way in through the practice of generosity. This is the way in to the teachings, the way into the understanding through generosity. But in a way that is very natural and organic. You don't have to figure it out. It happens. It happens. So this teaching of generosity The monastic form and also the current retreat form is a teaching in, as I said, the teaching of anatta, the teaching of interdependence, interconnectedness. That wonderful phrase that Norman quoted the Buddha, that being, this is. One would not exist without the other. Norman and I would not be here without you and without your support. The monasteries would not be here without the support of all the people who participate. The reliance and the dependence of one on the other, it's a teaching in, as in the world, with all of us, we need each other. You know, we need each other's kindness. We need each other's efforts and support to live, to thrive, to survive, and to flourish. And I think most or maybe all indigenous cultures know this. Independence is not something that is so much a part of those cultures because on a basic survival level, they need each other. They need each other simply to grow food, simply to care for each other, to care for the elderly, to help build homes, to take care of the animals, to take care of the earth on which their sustenance depends. And we as a culture, we've just grown so far. It's almost like we're out of balance. The independence has become such something to grasp at, to cling at, that I think we've lost the value of the interdependence. It's also, in terms of this being in community and recognizing community, it's a joy, isn't it, to feel a part of community. At the end of retreat, this is so often spoken as one of the gifts of retreat. Even in silence, or maybe especially in silence, to feel the joy of community and to help create and to sustain community, whether it's the community of a family, whether it's the community of a village or the global community, or whether it's the Dharma community. What a sense of joy in being able to contribute and sustain that which nourishes all of us. And generosity also is a teaching in non-attachment, yes? Non-clinging, non-grasping. It's a very natural teaching, an organic teaching in the ability to let go. It's an antidote to dukkha. An antidote to dukkha. It's a practice in open handedness and hopefully open-heartedness. And really seeing and experiencing the fruits of the ending of dukkha. We feel good about ourselves as we step out of the self-centeredness. And it's said that generosity brings joy in three times. When we first get the idea, when we first have the thought, oh, I would like to offer support. And then in the actual time of making that support, oh, what a feeling. And then in the remembering the joy of the offering. And generosity, too, is a teaching in cultivating the heart qualities. The heart qualities of metta, of friendliness, of karuna, of compassion, as we contribute to the welfare of others and contribute to the ending of suffering of others. So much related. And so in the presence of generosity as a practice and a teaching, it brings alive non-clinging, cultivating the heart, inclining the heart-mind to open to others, and it brings alive our interconnectedness and our mutual reliance.